I'm convinced aha moments are better than crisis moments. You with me? I'd rather have an aha moment that I can respond to than a crisis moment I have to respond to. And if we have more aha moments and understand how to get them, our lives are going to be better. That's part of intentional living.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Dr. Randy begins his teaching, How to Have More Aha Moments. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to the Intentional Living Center today, where we're gathered around to unpack some truths from Scripture, some things that we have seen work in people's lives, things that we know will make a difference for you. And our passion this week is that you would experience more aha moments. And I think you kind of intuitively know what an aha moment is, but we're going to unpack that today because that's at one extreme, the good extreme. The other extreme is what our senior producer, Steve Tanner, calls the oh no moments. Oh no, how did this happen? I refer to them in this teaching as these crisis moments that come along where we really weren't prepared for boom, and it hits you. What do you do? Do you change? Do you not change? How do you respond to aha moments or oh no moments? We're going to get into that in just a moment. We'd love to hear yours, and you can share with us anytime at 888-888-1717, press number 2, and leave your comment with us. Our passion this week is that you, by the end of this series, over the next 4 days, you would discover, you would really experience what it means to have an aha moment and really think about them and prepare for them. Maybe you're the type of person that they come very naturally. You're kind of, you know, you're self-aware. You're aware of what's going on. You're in touch with God. You're in touch with the Spirit moving in your life, and you experience those aha moments and respond appropriately. Maybe you don't. We want to teach you how to have more of those in your life here in 2018. And again, I want to say thanks to all of you who have been so faithful in your ongoing prayers and support for the ministry, for standing with us as we continue to reach out to make a difference in people's lives here in 2018 through intentional living. Okay, let's go on over to the teaching studio where staff and visitors come, and I record my series from week to week, this one on the topic of having more aha moments. I was thinking this month about the fact that there are laws that just happen in life that we're all subject to. And if any of you grew up on a farm, you know the laws of sowing and reaping. It's just the way it is. And the Scripture even talks about this powerful law of life. And the Scripture speaks to it on different occasions. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." And in nature, we know if you sow a seed, you're going to get whatever that seed is. It's going to come back. If the seed that you put in the ground is for green beans, you're going to get green beans. You're not going to get corn. If you put corn in the ground, you're going to get corn. It's just a law of life, and it's a law in our lives as well as human beings. Thinking about in the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea, where Israel and their disobedience to God, and the writer says, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. You see that connection between what we sow and what we get. In Job 4:8, it said, "As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it." In 2 Corinthians 9:6, Paul says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." And so there is a connection between what we sow and what we reap, right? We see it in life. If we sow anger, what does it reap? More anger. I mean, you could see that in any relationship. The counseling I've done over the years, you see an angry person, you see an angry marriage. You see the dynamic that occurs in the relationship. If we sow healthy living, we're going to have better health, generally, right? If we sow saving consistently or intentionally over time, we're going to reap financial freedom. If we sow a loving relationship in our marriage, we tend to reap a loving relationship back. And so what I wanted to talk about this month is a very practical lesson along the line of how are we to live our lives proactively in a way that we can reap what we want and what God has for us. Because this law is at work in every one of our lives. We cannot violate this law and get away from it. The fact is, what we sow, how we live, we're going to reap whatever that is. And we are sort of the product today of the decisions we've made in the past and the things we've done. And sometimes that gets discouraging, and some people give up, as opposed to saying, hey, God, I'm learning some lessons. I can move forward. You're a God of forgiveness and restoration. Now, how then shall I live from this point forward in a way that would honor you? And so I was thinking of it in terms of sort of dynamics. I always look at life in terms of, you know, you look at one extreme and then you look at the other extreme and you kind of connect how those extremes work and see if there's some correlation that we can learn some things about how we can live a more proactive life, a life that we're sowing the right things and seeing that there's a connection, how that process works in our life. And when we think of one extreme in life, there's this extreme where many of us, and I think we'd probably raise our hands and agree, that we've had self-inflicted moments. Have you ever had a self-inflicted moment? You know, a crisis in your life, you know that it was your own fault. You could probably think of some characters in the Bible who had self-inflicted moments. The one that came to mind as I was coming down here this morning was Jonah. Jonah got what he sowed. God said to him, go to Nineveh and preach the word. And he had a better idea. So he had a self-inflicted moment of saying, I'm going to run. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do it my way. But we have self-inflicted moments in our life that sometimes result in Jonah-type experiences.
You're listening to Dr. Randy's teaching from How to Have More Aha Moments. Don't go too far. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Learning to be intentional will help you to live intentionally, which will have a profound influence on your life and even those around you. When you become a monthly member, Dr. Randy's teachings will help you to be a more intentional parent, a more intentional spouse, and you'll get a better understanding of what God wants to do in your life. Join today, and as a monthly member, you'll also receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which contains autographed copies of Starved for Affection and The Power of One Thing, as well as the Intentional Living Wristband. And every month, you'll continue to receive Dr. Randy's teaching CDs. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717, and press number 4.
My name is Sheila. One thing I do to live an intentional life is when my alarm clock goes off in the morning, sometimes I just groan and think, I don't want to go to work. I want to stay in my nice warm bed. And then I make myself think, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then I get up on a Christ-filled note instead of one of resentment. And once I'm up, I think about what a blessing it is to have a steady job and one where I can share the love of Jesus all day long. That's what I do. That's my story. I hope someone else can be encouraged by it. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Now let's get back with Dr. Randy as he continues his teaching from How to Have More Aha Moments.
You could probably think of some characters in the Bible who had self-inflicted moments. The one that came to mind as I was coming down here this morning was Jonah. Jonah got what he sowed. God said to him, go to Nineveh and preach the word. And he had a better idea. So he had a self-inflicted moment of saying, I'm going to run. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do it my way. But we have self-inflicted moments in our life that sometimes result in Jonah-type experiences. And I'm convinced that throughout life, many of us will have a handful of these crisis moments where we have, as a result of decisions we've made in the past, will reap today a result of those decisions. I was thinking, what's the other extreme of a self-inflicted moment? And I was, as I was preparing this lesson, I was thinking it's the aha moments. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. An aha moment is a moment in time where all of a sudden the switch goes off in your head and you say, aha, I'm thinking about something. I'm learning something. God's revealed something to me. And I don't have to have a self-inflicted moment. Right? And you know my character from the Old Testament, Nehemiah. I love the guy, right? Because he's an example of an aha moment. He asked the question to his friends, what's going on back home? And God gave him an aha moment. And the switch went off in his head, planted in his heart, I want you to go and do something significant to rebuild those walls. He had an aha moment. And we see that in Scripture many times. We see men and women, as God speaks to their hearts, reveals himself to them, instead of being resistant to what God is saying, they have that aha moment. You all have aha moments? You have those moments in life where you kind of wake up and you say, aha. And I want to share with you 10 things in a moment that can help us have more aha moments. Because I'm convinced aha moments are better than crisis moments. You with me? I'd rather have an aha moment that I can respond to than a crisis moment I have to respond to. And if we have more aha moments and understand how to get them, our lives are going to be better. That's part of intentional living. So we have one extreme here, which is a self-inflicted moment. And over here we have the aha moments in life. And as we look at the other extremes, I'm going to use the word change. In other words, as a result of a self-inflicted moment, there's a change that occurs in our lives. Something happens. Now, the extreme of a change is what? No change. And what's interesting to me is I look at this little chart that I put together, is that, and you know I love these charts with four boxes, right? It's just the way my mind works, so welcome to my world. This is the way it works. I was thinking about if it's true that on one extreme we have these self-inflicted moments, things that are seeds that were sown in the past in our life, and they start to germinate and they grow, and then all of a sudden, boom, we have this moment in time that we don't like. Or we have an aha moment earlier in the process, and how we respond to how that makes a change in our life. Here's what I started to look at as I drew this out and I was thinking about it this week. Because self-inflicted moments are these kinds of difficult moments in life that we've got to do something. I mean, think about, what are some self-inflicted moments? A heart attack is a self-inflicted moment. Sometimes, isn't it? Could be. Not always, but sometimes. Maybe a financial crisis. Sometimes that's a self-inflicted moment. Decisions were made, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. You got this crisis. Could be in your marriage. Now, marriage is more complicated because you're part of a relationship, and it may be something you didn't intend, but there it is, and you're dealing with it. But you look back and say, hey, I can see the seeds that were sown in this relationship, and boom, here I am in a crisis, self-inflicted moment. Could be in the job. It could be in your career. It could be in your health. It could be in your finance. Any of the essential areas that we talk about in intentional living. And so what happens is we get a self-inflicted moment, and all of a sudden we decide to change.
Well, we're live back here in our Intentional Living studio. We get those moments and boom, we're going to change. Do we really change or don't we? We're going to continue to unpack this very important topic for a beginning of a new year on experiencing more aha moments in our life. We'd love to hear your experiences. You can call 888-888-1717 and press number 2 to leave your thoughts with us. And again, I want to say thanks to every member. I can almost picture you in my mind, men and women, young and old, couples, different cultural backgrounds, different races, people who love the Lord, going to different denominations, different churches. But we have one thing in common. We have a desire, a passion, and an intentionality in our life that says we choose to live an intentional life in Christ. Not a perfect life, but an intentional life. And I want to thank you for your support. Your faithfulness this year really makes a difference. Thank you for staying with us. continuing to support. We need new members to come and fill in the gap and help us move through this year. If you're not a member, come and join us. Join the journey. We have a new member kit to say thank you for your monthly support. It's The Power of One Thing, a book that I wrote that I'd like to send to you, along with Starve for Affection, both of these books to encourage you on your journey. And we'll get them out to you ASAP. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. You know, getting blindsided by life can make you experience one of those aha moments or a self-inflicted one. And I've got callers standing by to talk about their experiences of being blindsided by life. Don't go away.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered, if God is real, why has he let me go through so much pain?
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
In counseling, when somebody starts to really understand what's happened to them, many times it brings up the dark parts of that story. And you ask, where was God when I was going through that? The bad things that happen to you can distort your view of who you really are. When you let God reintroduce you to your real self, you are healing. God created you as a beautiful and special child of His. He has kept that shining core of you safe in the middle of all the mess. It doesn't matter what happened to you. God is still able to find you and bring you back to yourself. Just ask. For Intentional Living, this is Dr. Greg Jantz.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
My husband committed suicide. Now, living intentionally after this, coming way back from being an orphan and going through quite a bit of abuse throughout my life and doing a little bit of everything and I've been a little bit everywhere. Now, from that to a widow, intentionally, I speak life into my life from the Word of God, that His Word does not return void, and that I am more than a conqueror, and that I would not be here if there was not a purpose for me, and that I know Lord Christ Jesus loves me so much that He gave up His life for me. And I also know that no matter how dramatic the situation is, He'll pull you through it. I'm a living position for that. He got me through it. And He's still doing it. Sometimes it's moment by moment. Sometimes it's hours and hours. But He gets me through it. One thing, don't ever give up. He'll always be there. He always was. He loves us. God bless you. And thank you.
You're welcome. You know, thank you for sharing your story, because it beautifully, powerfully illustrates in her life, for all of us, that the blindsided moment, that critical crisis moment, also became an aha moment for her. She chose to use that to have a giant spiritual aha moment, that I can trust God and I will trust Him every day. Thank you for sharing that. Medea is on the phone. She wants to talk about being blindsided in her life. Medea, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Tell me about being blindsided. What have you learned?
About 10 years ago, my husband and I came to know a young man in Haiti who needed sponsorship. It was our 10-year anniversary, and my husband had saved up for a gift for me, and I just felt like we were supposed to use that money for someone else. I said, you know, maybe a kid for school or something. My husband was excited about that, so we talked to a missionary friend. She said, I just this week found a boy on the street. He can't go to school because his uncle passed away. He's been an orphan since he was 5. We said, sign us up, you know. So we sent our money. His school started, and we began to keep in touch with him through our friend. fast forward a year later, and the Lord put it on our hearts to adopt him. Hmm. He is too old to be legally adopted, but he's the most amazing, godly person ever. I mean, I missed out on a gift. My husband was going to buy me a ring for our anniversary, and I got so much more. You know, I have a son who loves the Lord, who is so strong and has persevered through, you know, all of his years of homelessness and abandonment, you know, from adults and even missionaries there in the country. But anyway, so we applied for a visa for him to come visit us, and we were so excited. We knew it would work out. We made plans for Christmas, and that day his visa was denied. My mom was also diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. That was in August. And then the next month, my mom was diagnosed with renal cancer, had surgery, and our son was put out of the missionary home where he was living. Sort of a corrupt situation, controlling situation, you know. So we thought, oh, goodness, he's going to be homeless, you know. And here we are with my mom. You know, we had just moved to our military family. And we had a new daughter we had adopted from India. She's 6. And our other son we have, but all of this just seemed so much, you know. One person said, wow, you've gotten hammered. That was the words that they used, you know, but.
What have you learned? You got hammered here. What's the one thing you've learned through all this, Medea?
You know, it's funny because our son in Haiti has actually been such an encourager to us through all of this. And he says, you know, whether I'm on the street, whether I'm in a house with electricity, whether I have no food, whatever, I would rather die with Jesus than live with all of these things that don't matter. And we have learned that family, and of course God first, but family is more important than any circumstance that we could face. That.
Yeah, I'll tell you, because you get back to the priorities, don't you?
Right, right. And look at what's more important. You know, when we moved, we talked about buying a beach house. We just moved to Florida. You know, we're on the beach and we're excited. And those were our focuses. You know, you think of buying things for yourself, or we've learned that, you know, we're so selfish here. And I don't want to say, you know, all Americans, but I feel like there's this culture, you know, of American Christianity that is so inward focused, and our eyes have just been focused on, you know, it's not about us. It's about God. It's about showing God's love to others who hurt us. You know, he was hurt by the people who put him out of the house. My husband went to Haiti, and you know, if anybody would say, you know, you should go start something with them. You should, you know, tell them what they did and that they're not being godly and all that. And my husband went and shook their hand and said, you know, thank you for showing me around the place. I wanted to see where our son lived for a year.
God bless you, Medea. Appreciate your call. Kevin is on the line. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Hi there.
Appreciate your call. What about being blindsided in your life? What have you learned?
Well, I'm 58 now. Back when I was 17, my kidneys failed.
Wow.
And this is kind of all through, well, it isn't kind of, it is all through Christ. My dad came to me and he said, we're going to decide that this is the best. And after 4 kidney transplants later and all the stuff that goes with it, there's times I've had to sit in a hospital room and just say thank you for really bad things that are happening. And it was all that one statement of, we're just going to decide this is the best.
You can still remember that even 30 years later.
Oh, yeah. He took me up in our room, our little parsonage, and said, Kev, we're going to decide this is the best.
Wow.
Let's just decide it right now. And we prayed, and it was probably 3 weeks later. I was on dialysis. I'm on dialysis now. But it's all the best, and I've been able to talk to people who are chronically ill and people dying and just not tell them what they need to say, but I've just decided that this is the best through Christ.
Can I add anything? I mean, what do you say? You know, thank you, Kevin, for your call, and we'll be praying for you. But there are people listening saying, that guy is completely out of touch with reality. I mean, he's in a big, big, fat state of denial.
That's what some people are thinking. You're driving down the road. And yet he goes back to 30, 35 years ago, and he made a decision. His dad impacted his life. God, you know, was clearly in the midst of that to say, hey, this is the best. This is the best. And, you know, the Bible says that we know that all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose, and that's important to have that attached to that, because the reality is if we're in the center of God's will and if we're choosing, and this is why intentional living matters so much. If you're choosing to be intentional in your faith, choosing to be intentional in trusting him, and choosing to be intentional in doing the next right one thing, doing the things that you need to do, the right things, you give it to God. I mean, you know, you cling on to it, you hang on to it to yourself, and you worry yourself sick, or you get overwhelmed with all of the realities that seem to be buzzing around you that you want to control. And Kevin says, hey, I'm on dialysis. This is the best. I don't understand that. I don't understand that intellectually. That's why this faith walk, trusting God, is something that goes on from the inside. It begins on the inside and then moves to the outside. And indeed, that is the best. Kevin, thank you for your call, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Hello, my name is Cynthia. The doctors have told me that I'm going to need a heart transplant, and then I was recently diagnosed with cancer. So with all this going on, I mean, it's just really, it's really been a blessing, actually. I mean, it's brought me, I feel closer to the Lord. I know he's here with me. I know he cares. And I know that, you know, it's up to him. You know, I've given him full charge over my life. But I just wanted to share my testimony. In case there's anyone out there having a tough time, just know that God's there for you. He's there holding your hand. He's beside you all the way. And he's taking care of us. He's fighting our battles for us.
Thank you for the reminder. Real life stories, people all over the country and sometimes around the world online, sharing what God is doing in their life. And you make it possible. Those of you who pray for us and those who financially support the ministry, we're a listener-supported ministry. And I would hope you'd have maybe an aha moment today if you're not a member, to say, hey, you know, I want to be a part of this journey. I see it as a worthwhile ministry, lives being changed. That's where I want to invest some of my support. And for eternity, thank you. Your monthly support, $1 a day, $30 a month, $50 a month, whatever the amount is that God lays on your heart, will go directly into ministry. And I want to send you a new member kit for joining today. It contains two of our best-selling books from the Intentional Living Center, The Power of One Thing, I wrote, along with Starve for Affection, both books very encouraging. Our monthly teaching for this month, and then ongoing teaching each and every month on CD. To say thank you for your support, simply go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, theintentionallife.com. Appreciate it. We're going to continue this series on having more aha moments next time from the Intentional Living Center. We'll see you then.